Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And thank you for joining us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America, as we are spending time at the StoneX Ag Dairy Market Outlook Conference in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. It's good to be with you here once again as we talk about what is happening in agriculture, the markets, and issues impacting rural America. And again, here at StoneX's Ag Dairy Market Outlook, I know coming up we're going to talk markets with Arlen Suderman from StoneX. We'll get his thoughts, some news we've been watching this week from China on the outside markets as well here in the U.S., the jobs market, and more. We're going to talk a little bit about grains. We got a WASDE report coming up on Friday as well. So we're going to dive into that conversation with Arlen coming up here after the bottom of the hour today. Also coming up in segment two, we're going to talk fertilizer. Mike Castle with StoneX is going to sit down with us for a conversation. I know this nice weather has had plenty of folks, or at least a good amount of folks, looking at putting some fertilizer down, getting some anhydrous going. I've heard some reports about some of that happening in parts of the Midwest here already. So we're going to talk about fertilizer. Is there a run on the market right now? Are supplies in place? We're going to get some thoughts on that from Mike Castle coming up here in segment two today. And we'll also have a little bit more here from the conference later on in the show as well. So a lot to get to here on today's AOA, brought to you by StoneX. Not all grease is created equal. StoneX premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at StoneX.com. Want to kick it off, though? Take a look at news headlines here on today's program. And one headline that we saw come out on Wednesday, the Securities and Exchange Commission released a limited greenhouse gas disclosure rule that omits the requirement for large publicly traded companies to release greenhouse gas emissions data from private companies in their supply chain. Now, this type of data, known as Scope 3 reporting, could have increased burdens on family farmers and ranchers whose beef is processed or sold by publicly traded companies, according to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. NCBA President Mark Isley says, quote, the final SEC rule that omits supply chain emissions reporting entirely is a testament to NCBA's engagement with federal agencies and Congress to defend America's cattle producers, end quote. Now, back in 2022, the SEC proposed a rule to require publicly traded companies to release data on their direct Scope 1, energy and electricity, Scope 2, and supply chain, Scope 3, greenhouse gas emissions. Now, the Scope 3 requirement was concerning to the cattle industry because numerous farmers and ranchers have their beef processed by publicly traded companies or sold by publicly traded restaurants and retailers. Also, the National Grain and Feed Association coming out with a statement after the news came out about that SEC rule. They said, quote, calculating Scope 3 emissions is widely recognized as being inherently much more difficult than determining direct and indirect emissions, Scope 1 and 2, and calculating such emissions requires significant personnel, resources, expertise, and data management. NGFA thanks the SEC for recognizing that the proposed Scope 3 rule would have transferred the reporting burden and associated cost to participants in the agricultural value chain, who in many cases do not have the resources or expertise to provide such information. Again, that is a statement in part from the National Grain and Feed Association. So the Securities and Exchange Commission releasing a limited greenhouse gas disclosure rule that omits the requirement for large publicly traded companies to release greenhouse gas emissions data from private companies in their supply chain. I know that was something that was a big concern to many farmers and ranchers and those in the ag industry. So seeing a little bit of resolution there in that rule from the SEC. Also, a coalition representing farmers and the ethanol industry this week has urged the Environmental Protection Agency to reject a recent petition by CVR Energy to alter the Renewable Fuel Standards Credit Trading Program. CVR Energy's petition is a counterproductive proposal that would undermine the RFS and ultimately lead to higher prices for consumers, according to the group. Now, CVR Energy has long sought to change the RFS, and in late December 2023, they petitioned EPA to prohibit many businesses from possessing and trading renewable identification numbers, or RINs. Now, RINs are the credits that EPA uses to ensure obligated parties satisfy their obligations under the Renewable Fuel Standard. Now, in a letter to the EPA, a coalition states, quote, altering the structure of the RIN system would have disastrous impacts on renewable fuel producers, fuel marketers, and retailers, obligated parties, and consumers in the form of higher prices at the pump, end quote. Now, the letter was signed by the Renewable Fuels Association, the National Association of Convenience Stores, National Farmers Union, and others. Well, the last 10 years of technology has provided farmers with a revolution of tools to help them be more efficient and make decisions. Speaking at Commodity Classic last week, former Farm Service Agency Director and now the current Business Growth Director for Agriculture at Osborne Barr Paramore, Richard Fordyce, who is a Northwest Missouri farmer, says it all allows for better farm management.
There's a lot of software now that is helping farmers make decisions. It's allowing for better management of farms. I spent about a half an hour talking to one of the drone providers on the third level of the trade show. And just the technology now that's employed in these drones, right? So they're deploying these drones to go out. When it used to be, the drones would maybe treat a problem area in a field, right? Because the capacity just wasn't there. Well, now these drones, they're deploying multiple drones. When that drone operator gets to the field, they already have basically the prescription for that field. And these things are just doing this all on their own. I mean, you got to stop and put a new battery in them and put the product in the tank. But just to think about where we've come just from a drone technology standpoint, and the drones are cool, right? Like, those are cool. But what is even, to me, is even neater is the software that supports that.
Fordyce says growers now know more about what's going on in their fields.
And we can use some historical data to help support decisions. We can use real-time data to help us adjust during the growing season or maybe at the beginning of the growing season. We can see what's happening out in that field as the growing season is happening and react or respond to things that might need to be done during the growing season. We wouldn't even think about doing that at the level of precision that we do it today. There are several companies that have offerings that are actually doing precision post fertilizer application. I mean, that's just amazing. And, you know, that's a game changer, really.
And he says data collection has come a long way.
My hope is we get to a point, you know, just from the FSA side, that as a farmer is planting his or her field and that data is being captured in that system as going to the cloud, all you have to do is just give Farm Service Agency permission to go retrieve that data. So I used to explain this, like, when you're out there planting, you're planting your crop and you're also completing an acreage report as you're doing that. I don't think we're quite there yet, but farmers, and we got to be perfectly clear about this, farmers own that data. It's up to farmers who they share it with. But that data, especially, you know, if you've been doing precision ag and you're at kind of some of the higher levels of technology, you really own some really valuable data. It's important and it's valuable to you as a producer to make adjustments and do the very best you can throughout the growing season. But it's also important data for the folks that you partner with.
And once again, Fordyce served as the FSA administrator during the Trump administration, and he's a current business growth director for agriculture at Osborne Barr Paramore, speaking with him last week at Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas. All right, coming up next here on AOA, as we continue our coverage here at the StoneX Ag Dairy Market Outlook, we're going to talk fertilizer. We're going to see a run on this fertilizer market, how our price is doing, and more. Mike Castle with StoneX is going to sit down with us for a conversation here on AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll be back with more on AOA right after this.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Every Tuesday, we'll be sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS. Join us and learn how CHS creates the vital connections that empower agriculture, helping farmers and ranchers like you succeed. We'll hear from different voices from throughout the cooperative system, sharing stories about how good things happen when people work together. Join us around the table every Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes, and Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families, and it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed, and we feel it, and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Now time's a waste. To keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. We are here at the StoneX Ag Dairy Market Outlook in Nashville, Tennessee. We want to talk fertilizer right now. The nice weather, I think, has got everyone a little interested in what this fertilizer market is doing. Joining us for a conversation to talk about it, Senior Fertilizer Analyst with StoneX, Mike Castle, is with us. Mike, it's good to see you again, my friend. How are you?
Doing great. Great to be back with you, Jesse.
Well, I'm sure that, as I kind of alluded to, this nice weather, you know, I'm hearing stories, people putting down anhydrous here the last week of February in Iowa. I mean, that's not normal.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure a lot of folks are asking questions about, you know, how's supply, how's this fertilizer market doing? Let's just start 1,000-foot view. What are you seeing and hearing right now before we dive into some of these pieces a little more in-depth, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the spring coming that much earlier. You know, our winter turnaround window is always somewhat tight. And, you know, when spring shows up in February, you know, a month or two ahead of schedule, seeing farmers in the field definitely makes us feel that much tighter. You know we ended last spring season pretty tight across the board inventory-wise, specifically on the urea side. And then a good fall season, you know, we had a great P&K run, huge fall ammonia run this past year. On our records, that was our third biggest fall ammonia run since 2000. So we essentially depleted the system and then, you know, had this really short window to turn around. And now this early spring is really making us feel that tightness. Mm-hmm. It's been a big part of why we've seen prices rally so much here on the front end, as everyone's kind of scrambling to get supplies in place.
Now, I was going to say, price-wise, I mean, it's not like we're necessarily spiking back to, you know, what we saw with the initial Russia-Ukraine war. But to your point, prices are steadily climbing here with many inputs on the fertilizer side, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Thankfully, nowhere close to the record levels we saw in 2022. You know, globally, we feel a lot more balanced since that. A lot of our initial disruptions and just kind of the fear of the war kicking off and losing all that supply that drove that panic buying, thankfully, has subsided. But, you know, we are certainly firming up from where we were not long ago, just with this huge rush of demand showing up all at once.
And with that huge rush of demand, I mean, let's talk supply. I know a lot of retailers, logistically, they need kind of that Jan, Feb, March time window to get supplies in place to where they need to be. So with an early start, are we seeing some issues getting product where it needs to go, Mike?
Yeah, for sure. And it started, you know, even last fall with the river issues we had, you know, kind of that post-fall run time where you'd see the barges moving stuff back into the Midwest. We just kind of didn't get to do as well as we would have liked because of the restrictions on barge movement, how much more expensive freight was, you know, and then this winter, the quick turnaround we're seeing is making things hard. And even just, you know, the inland plants, some of the Gulf Coast plants too, with that brutal cold we saw in January, we saw a lot of production outages. So, you know, didn't really have that longer runway, so to speak, to get supplies where they needed to be when spring shows up so early. In the upper Mississippi, even though the ice isn't there, they're not opening it up early. Mm-hmm. So it's still going to be mid-March. So, you know, it's just kind of adding to issues. And obviously, you know, if anyone that deals with truck or rail knows what the constraints are like, knows how difficult it is availability-wise. And again, just going back to all this demand showing up at once, everyone's got the same idea, right? So you kind of run into your logistical capacities pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I feel like that just it makes it tough. We already know a lot of farmers are really watching their cost of inputs this year, the belt's tightening a little bit. So then you start getting a run on things, prices start to go up. I mean, it's one thing to maybe, you know, work with your retailer and lock in some prices, but then, you know, you got to have the product there too. So I feel like it's, I don't want to say it's a tense situation, but there's going to be some kind of ebb and flow, I feel like, here in this window, Mike.
Oh, yeah. If the weather stays like it has, I think you're right on the money there. And that's why we just like to stress to the farmer to have those conversations with your retailer early and often to avoid running into those situations. You know, we saw a lot of last-minute buying last spring, and then obviously kind of had similar situations where we had some localized supply issues and some major inland price spikes. And, you know, you don't want to end up being subject to that or running into the availability issues when you do have them, you know, especially if we do start to see tighter application windows, if we start seeing some more rains come back this spring.
Let's think about this, too. I know the acreage battle, of course, is starting to get talked about, heat up here in the U.S. I look back to last fall, folks who maybe did some fall fertilizer application, they're put some nitrogen down, planning on doing corn, and then they look at the board price and the cash price. They don't love it, per se, right now. I mean, realistically, are we going to see some of those maybe acreage shifts that could impact the fertilizer market as well? Mike, what are you thinking about that? What are you hearing from farmer customers right now?
I think the shifts that we do see will probably be more in our fringe areas.
Okay.
You know, we've kind of done some work on this in the past, but really the heart of the Corn Belt, your guys in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, you know, they're going to grow corn. There's always, you know, there's plenty of guys who grow continuous corn.
Yeah.
But the folks rotation-wise who got their ammonia on this fall, it was reasonably priced then, which definitely helps. But I definitely think you'll still see solid corn acres. We saw USDA on their Feb outlook form peg them at 91 million. Obviously, that's a step back from last year, but last year was our biggest corn acre since 2013.
True.
So that's kind of an outlier. So I do think we'll see a step back, but I don't think it'll be, you know, anything crazy significant unless it's weather-driven, unless folks aren't able to get in the field come planting time.
Sure. Well, and to your point, some of those fringe acres, I mean, you know, seeing the price of cotton lately, for instance. I mean, we could see some more cotton in the south. Thinking about spring wheat in the north, I know the spring wheat price is not great, but to that point, you know, there's a lot of rotations up in the northern plains where they got to plant spring wheat, you know, every so often, and then go back to, say, sugar beets and things like that. So, I mean, but to your point there, some of those fringe acres, and that's kind of traditionally where we see some of those changes when it comes to spring planting activity, or maybe if a fertilizer input isn't there, maybe that triggers a change in some of those fringe acres. That tends to happen quite a bit, Mike, doesn't it?
Yeah, we could definitely see that, you know, and especially the folks up north, they kind of, you know, have the longest route to go when it comes to getting, you know, fertilizer from NOLA all the way up there, especially with the river, you know, kind of opening up later than the weather would tell it to. So, yeah, we could certainly run into those problems if we do see that kind of happen this spring. Thankfully, they've got a little wider window, you know, they've got a longer time to get planted. But, I mean, we were hearing about urea spreaders in the field up even in South Dakota in late February.
Wow. Okay, so, yeah. I mean, it's, so Mother Nature's giving us that window, that is for sure.
Big time.
Now, with prices where they're moving right now, do you anticipate a larger correction in this fertilizer market broadly? And if so, how soon? Is it something that could be 2 weeks from now? Could it be this summer, this fall? I mean, what is the data you're looking at and just the feeling kind of telling you about this market right now?
I would say if the weather stays like it has, honestly, we could use a couple good rounds of rains to take a breather. And everything is kind of from a market structure perspective pointing towards a significant correction. We're very inverted. If you look at the NOLA barge markets, urea, phosphate, it's both very front-end heavy. We're seeing huge inverses when you get out to the later spring months. So it seems like that correction is kind of, you know, expected to come at some point in Q2. When that's going to be is kind of the million-dollar question. But we did just get rumors this week of China returning to the market at some point in the next couple months. I think May is kind of the biggest time frame being discussed, which, again, obviously doesn't help us with this current spring season, you know, with the fact that we're already in it.
Exactly.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could have pretty major implications for the second half of 2024.
Okay. Well, so and long story short, looking towards the end of the year for maybe that correction. But for right now, spring season, it just kind of comes back to farmers are going to have a conversation with their retailer and probably maybe look at doing some booking of some inputs here if they haven't already done so. Right, Mike?
Yeah. And I hope that, you know, as you know, folks kind of see the fertilizer market shift. We've seen a lot more volatility, obviously, in these last couple of years, and it doesn't seem like something that's going to go away. It kind of seems like, you know, fertilizer was able to stay a lot less volatile than a lot of the other commodities throughout the years, but unfortunately, we're kind of hitting that point where they're catching up with the others, where you see the, you know, we've kind of grown used to the volatility in grain on the energy side, and now we're feeling that in fertilizer. So it's, you know, again, just becoming that much more important to have a plan, to have those conversations early, and just, you know, stay on top of things and not expect to just show up at the last minute and hope it's there for you.
Well, and I think, too, plan A, B, C, D, E, all the way to X, I think is important, right, Mike?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, make sure you have those plans in place and continue to keep an eye on those cost of inputs, watch the fertilizer market, and really enjoy the conversation and the insight here, Mike. Thanks for joining us, giving us some time here during the StoneX Ag and Dairy Market Outlook. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Mike Castle, Senior Fertilizer Analyst there with StoneX, joining us here on AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium Diesel will keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. All right, we'll continue here from the StoneX Ag and Dairy Market Outlook. On the way next here on AOA, we'll talk with Arlen Suderman right after this.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to AOA. Here's a check of markets for the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra. The most traded May Chicago Board of Trade corn contract pushed through the 20-day moving average last night and made impressive progress into the morning hours. The most bullish technical move in 4 months, despite any real fundamental help. Corn has at least shown the most proclivity to rebound over the last 2 weeks in the face of weak soybean and wheat price action. The grain market was generally unfazed by decent export sales numbers this morning, with corn sales in the middle of the trade estimate range at 43.7 million bushels. That's up slightly from last week and a three-week high. Soybeans beat expectations at 22.5 million bushels. That's a 10-week high. Cumulative corn sales are basically right on a seasonal pace to meet the USDA export estimate for 2023-24. Soybeans are slightly behind their own pace to hit their mark. The government will likely punt on any changes to their domestic numbers for supply and demand in tomorrow's March supply and demand report, that with the main changes expected to be cuts in Brazilian corn and soybean production figures. The bigger fundamental reports coming up will be the March 28th planting inspections and quarterly stocks reports, and the May USDA supply and demand report. Those coupled with the arrival of the U.S. spring planting season will shape the long-term trend for the Chicago Board of Trade grain markets that have slogged through the winter thus far. Bids and offers for cash cattle were posted Wednesday with distance between the two. There were bids of 182 and offers of 186. Dressed bids were at 290 with offers at 295. There were a few trades in Iowa and Nebraska, but not enough to determine a trend. It's Thursday and some trading should be done today. Hog futures remained under pressure Wednesday after an about-face Tuesday. The decline Wednesday still leaves futures in an uptrend, but a large price correction may be underway. That's a look at markets for the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, "That's rad." It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back here to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at your nearest Cenex location or find your nearest Cenex location online at cenex.com. We continue here at the StoneX Ag and Dairy Market Outlook Conference in Nashville. Joining me now for a conversation, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, Arlen Suderman. Arlen, I feel like I should W World Traveler, Arlen Suderman. I just saw you last week in Houston, and now you're in my town here in Nashville. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. It's what day is it? What city am I supposed to be in? But it's a great opportunity to interact with a lot of our customers here from really many parts of the world, and always look forward to this event. It's a fantastic opportunity to network with some of our people and our customers from other parts of the country and other parts of the world, and hear from them, hear their needs, and be able to speak to that.
Yeah, and I know you guys are going to have a lot of information over the next day and a half here in Nashville, and looking forward to soaking some of that in as well. I'm sure I know you are going to be speaking here on Thursday. Probably going to be a lot of folks listening to what you have to say in terms of what's happening with these markets. I called Wednesday kind of the dog days of wheat, so to speak. Wheat just kind of fell apart overnight into Thursday's session, a little bit of a grain rally, but I know fundamentally we got a lot of overhead resistance here we're bumping up against, and just not a lot of fundamental change in these markets, Arlen.
Yeah, the bottom line, much to the dismay of our producers out there, we've been in a commodity deflation mode since June of 2022, with the funds just shorting the commodities, unless that particular commodity has a story. A good example of a story would be cocoa has a story with weather and disease cutting the size of crops and leaving things tight. The protein sector has a story because of the declining size of the cow herd and the sow herd in the hogs. And so we've been reducing the supply of meat available on the market. And cotton, we find that the crop last year wasn't as big as what we thought. You know, there's a story there, or crude oil with geopolitical risks in the Middle East. But outside of that, whenever those headlines die, the default mode is to sell the commodities, and the funds building massive short positions into commodities, which is something they do all the time historically, or most of the time, I should say, as we look back at history, during times when they expect inflation to be declining. I think that's going to change going forward. Probably starting in the second or third quarter, we're going to see inflation pressures come back, in my view. And I think they're going to say, why are we short the commodities when we need to be long the commodities? That doesn't necessarily mean we get a big rally in commodities, but it tends to mean that we manage the same supply and demand at different levels. Now, as we look at overnight, when the markets get so oversold, so short, so at such low prices, it doesn't take much to get a bounce. And we really saw that in our overnight trade. And in this case, it was a story about China with trade data coming in better than expected, showing January and February 7% increase year on year on trade. Now, a year ago, the numbers are very low, so that helped prop up this year. Ironically, that story comes out the same time we see soybean imports really backed off in January and February because of the holiday period and giving other kind of excuses, but yet they say that overall trade increased by so much. So there's a lot of inconsistencies in the data and in the reports, surprise, surprise, coming out of China. But when prices are so low, it makes a nice excuse. We had a big sell-off in wheat, you mentioned, on Wednesday on rumors that China had canceled some wheat purchases. And now today we focus on something else. So a lot of it, to the frustration of people, is just about money flow.
Yeah, and you think about all that economic news and more that comes out of China always tends to be a market mover, to your point. Also, too, couple that with what we're seeing here in the U.S. as of late. Of course, the continued inflation story. I know Fed Chair Powell spoke in D.C. on Wednesday. We've had a lot of jobs data out this week. There's been a lot of outside market news as well that's been at play here this week, Arlen.
Yeah, twice a year, the Federal Reserve Chair is supposed to testify before the House Financial Services Committee and then the Senate Banking Committee, just to kind of give the state of monetary policy. And so yesterday was the turn in front of the Financial Services Committee there in the House. And very interesting response by the market. Basically, we go back to our economy is driven by consumerism, by consumer. It makes up about 70% of the economy. And so consumer sentiment really drives this economy. In order to get inflation down, you have to slow down the economy, which means putting a drag on consumer sentiment. And they did that to a great extent, raising interest rates. Then the December meeting, Fed Chair Powell made comments which the market interpreted as a pivot in policy. They didn't cut rates. They didn't say we're going to cut rates at the next meeting or anything like that. But they said we are ready to start talking about when we might cut rates. And the market jumped ahead and said, they pivoted policy. And so, therefore, Wall Street celebrated. We saw new record highs on Wall Street. The consumer sentiment jumped. Consumer buying came back. And lo and behold, we had 2 months back-to-back of higher inflation than expected. So now they have to come back and say, whoa, getting a little ahead of ourselves here, and they have to sound more hawkish so that the consumer pulls back again, because there's still enough money and stimulus in the system. Fiscal spending is a big part of that on an election year, that we can bring back inflation, and they don't want to make the same mistake they made in 1980 when they pivoted too soon and inflation came roaring back, and then they really had to take some drastic steps to bring it under control.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think a lot of folks listening in remember the 80s for sure and what happened with inflation then. And I think, too, back at the farm level, a lot of folks are getting ready and they're making their input decisions for spring planting, seed, chemical, fertilizer. We've seen, you know, a lot of talk about fertilizer here as of late as well. And just that cost of inputs in this inflationary environment. You know, the last couple of years, farmers have made a fair amount of money, but now we're kind of in that down cycle again. And I know a lot of folks are tightening the belt, so to speak, here across the ag sector, Arlen.
Yeah, and that's not a fun stage of the cycle to be in by any means. And we certainly don't anticipate things getting as bad as what they were in the 1980s. That was a very dark time in agriculture. And we don't anticipate it getting that bad, but we don't want it to get that bad either. But we've had some years, as you said, of some good prices, and now we're going into a cycle of perhaps a period of low prices, and that means really tightening those margins and really having to know what our numbers are. Where's our break even? We're on our fixed costs and our total costs, and what makes up a good price, and really sharpening that pencil and treating it like a business. And we spent the last couple of years building equity on our farms. Now it's time to protect the equity on our farms. And instead of hitting home runs in our marketing, we're seeing what we can do to hit singles. And as I was at Commodity Classic last week, one of the stories, and we talked about this last week, was just how farmers are really down and discouraged and about their marketing. Each one of them comes up to me individually and says, "Man, I wish I had done more. I made a mistake. I should have sold more." And it's the same story with each of them, but they feel like they're alone. And those are the times you have to say, okay, what can I do today to hit a single? Where can I sell some good basis that'll work out? Where can I get a forward contract or something like that? Just little things to start getting some success, start getting our confidence back, to see the market with some confidence once again, and get that mojo back, so to speak, in our marketing. These are going to be tougher times, but we can make it through it. There's still a lot of positives in agriculture.
Very true. Very true. Coming up on Friday, of course, we got the March WASDE report. I feel like, for the most part, everyone's paying attention to what USDA will say about South America, not expecting this to be a market mover much in many other places, but it'll be curious to see what that South American number looks like from USDA, Arlen.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be the key to the report that the market's going to respond to. Last month, the USDA only went down 1 million metric tons on their soybean production estimate. Does that mean they make a bigger drop this time? Or are they seeing something, some things that we're hearing rumors of in the satellite pictures, that the area planted is in Brazil is larger than was anticipated, that their expansion in recent years has been faster than what was anticipated? That's the key question going forward. We saw our customer survey in Brazil raise its estimate by 1 million metric tons this month, which kind of gave us reason to pause that maybe we've kind of hit the bottom and above the 150 million metric ton level for soybeans. And if that's the case, then that's not friendly to the market. But then again, it means the market's probably priced in the worst of the news, so to speak. But we'll see what USDA does. That'll really set the tone.
Yeah, I think a lot more eyes will be on the end of the month with quarterly grain stocks and the acreage report as well coming up here just a few weeks' time, Marlon.
Oh, it does. And if you look at it, how short the funds are, and that means they're somewhat at risk as well. And yeah, they've been protected in those positions to this point. But they start getting nervous as well. They're humans as well, and they worry about what could go wrong. And if you get a headline somewhere that causes all those speculative shorts to try to get out the door at the same time, then it can create some problems for them. And you've got reports at the end of the month that are known for their surprises. And then you've got weather risks in South America for the winter corn crop. You've got weather risks here in the Midwest. You've got talk of how quickly will this El Nino demise, and will it go into La Nina by summer? That can mean the difference between a bumper crop this summer in the United States and a short crop in the United States this summer. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of variability coming up. The funds may not be comfortable carrying those big short positions in. And I think that's another reason here why we saw some strength in the overnight markets.
Arlen, great to see you. Thanks for chatting with me a little bit here in Nashville. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Always enjoy it, Jesse.
Arlen Suderman there with StoneX here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. We'll be back with more to wrap things up right after this.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other. Leading by example. experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org, a campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education, teach.org, and 1 million teachers of color.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section, when Dad injured his back, when your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with the pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Opioids are powerful, pain-reducing prescription medicines. But most people who are prescribed opioids don't finish their prescriptions. So millions of unused opioids are sitting in homes across the country. And tragically, more than 100 Americans die every day from overdoses involving opioids. What can you do to protect your family? Remove the risk of unused opioids from your home. Pills, patches, or syrups in drawers, purses, and cabinets. Anywhere they might be hiding. To find out how to dispose of them properly, visit www.fda.gov/drug disposal.
Wheat growers of the North, it's time to push performance to answer the call of Westbred wheat. With regionally proven varieties like WB9590 and WB9479 with high protein, yield potential, and standability. Trust Westbred wheat to help you get the most out of every acre. Now's the time. Boldly grow. Seize the season with Westbred wheat. Performance may vary. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit Cenex.com for more information. Great to talk with Arlen Suderman as well as Mike Castle from Stonex, talking markets, talking fertilizer. They are with their customers here today
at the StoneX Ag and Dairy Market Outlook in Nashville, Tennessee, and talking with customers from across the country and around the world. So good to spend a few hours here with the folks at StoneX today and have some great conversations. Also had some great conversations last week at Commodity Classic in Houston, Texas, and one of those that I thought was very good kind of goes along with the theme we've had here on the show today, just thinking about your markets and also looking at your cost of inputs and more and really having a plan in place. I talked with Gail Stratman from FMC, and he shared some great thoughts as farmers are making decisions for the 2024 spring planting season. Here is that conversation from Commodity Classic last week in Houston, Texas, with Gail Stratman of FMC on AOA. Gail, it is good to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here, and always a pleasure to get to Commodity Classic every year and see what's on growers' mind and talk to them and plan for this year.
Well, thinking about what's on growers' minds, I have to wonder, Gail, a lot of folks, I think, maybe tightening the belt a little bit, making some tough calls as they're making decisions for the 2024 growing season. As we kind of know, ag goes in cycles, and we're kind of going into that down cycle, it feels like, right now. I mean, talk about from your perspective, is that some of the things you're concerned that you might be hearing from growers here this week?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking to a lot of growers about, you know, where are they spending their input dollar this year? You know, that's going to be fairly limited, and so it's going to be really important this year that growers understand where they're getting the maximum return on their investment. You know, in years past, maybe we were looking to maybe push that yield envelope, try to push it to the next level, but this year you're going to have to understand how that affects your margins, how does that affect your bottom line. So as growers are looking at doing practices and trips across the field this year, where can they gain efficiencies? Maybe I can combine two things into one operation. You know, our Xyway fungicide is an example of that. We're putting a foliar fungicide on with the planter. We save a trip across the field. That $10, $12, $14 an acre in application cost can go to the bottom line and help you later on in the season. So those kind of things, just having those discussions and helping growers understand the products they choose, why they choose those, make sure there's science behind the solution, and really help them understand, if I'm going to spend my dollar here, what's my return on investment for this going to be, and how's that going to affect my bottom line at the end of the year?
I think too, or maybe on top of that, being willing to try something new. I think a lot of times people get used to something they like and they don't want to go away from that. And when you start talking to them about cutting this or cutting that out of the input plan for the year, then, you know, it's not a good situation. So I think maybe being a little more open-minded about trying some different products like Xyway, for instance, and different things that are available that can help your operation, right, Gail?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we can attack things out there. And so, you know, figuring out where we can gain some efficiencies. Like I said, Xyway is one, or some of our other at-plant products can help a grower maximize that efficiency by doubling up and allowing him to gain that extra savings across the field by utilizing things in a multiple application in a single trip. So, you know, those kind of things are just things that growers need to take a step back with. Trying new things is great, but do your research before you do that. Like I said, you know, understand the science behind the solution, because there's a lot of products out there that can make some claims, but understand how much research is behind those and how much testing has been done to understand what's my chance of success for that, because this is not the year to really be throwing dollars at something that maybe is not quite proven, because I may have a chance to try to get a higher yield, but if my chance isn't very good, that could have a negative impact on my bottom line. So making sure that my profitability is secure and I understand what's going on there, and then I can start dabbling maybe into things that are a little more risky and a little more chancy, see if I can get that yield improvement, but also, like I said, keeping under consideration where that's going to affect my profitability all throughout the year.
Well, thinking too, agronomic challenges, what are some of the big things you're hearing from growers already thinking about 2024? And of course, you mentioned Xyway. I know you guys have Adastrio fungicide as well. I mean, you guys have a lot of great products in the FMC portfolio to help. What are some of those challenges you're hearing about that some of your guys' products can maybe help with this year?
Well, like I said, as growers kind of evaluate some of those input costs, you know, one of them that becomes questioned a lot of times is fungicides, especially as we get later into the season. It becomes natural to just want to pull back and not spend that extra $20 an acre on a fungicide. But it's been proven time and time again that those foliar fungicides really tend to pay off at the end and provide that extra boost at the end of the year and pay for themselves. The other piece of that we're talking to them about, of course, is how the weather affects all this. We're seeing a very early warmer winter that's kind of likely going to lead into a warmer spring. Guys are going to want to get going earlier, and so that's going to open that window up where that early season growing conditions that are probably a little less favorable is going to be stretched out. You're going to see a wider thing there, so it's going to become important that if growers get going early, they're going to want their pre-emergence herbicides down. They're going to want to protect that window because we're going to get it's going to be a longer window to get to crop canopy. We're going to want to make sure that we incorporate those overlapping, those sequential residuals into that weed control program. We're looking at seedling diseases early in the season if we're out there earlier. So products like Ethos Elite, which is new from FMC this year, that contains a biofungicide to control dampening off diseases and seedling diseases, is going to be important if we're out there earlier this year. So all those considerations need to work into that, and just understand what you're risking out there by pushing it a little bit earlier this year, but also understand there's products out there to help you along to ensure that crop is successful as we go through the year.
Well, Gail, I'm sure folks want to learn more, contact their local FMC retailer, go online. A lot of great ways to get in touch as they're making decisions for 2024 and beyond, right?
You bet. They can go to ag.fmc.com, our website, to get more information, or get in touch with your local FMC Star retailer, and they can get in touch with your local FMC rep, and we'll provide the information you're looking for.
Gail Stratman with FMC. Thanks for the time here at Commodity Classic. Always good to chat with you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, that's going to do it for AOA today, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Learn more at cenex.com. Appreciate the folks at StoneX letting us spend some time here at their Ag Dairy Market Outlook today. Coming up on tomorrow's AOA, we're going to talk about the latest Packers and Stockyards Act final rule with Tanner Beamer from the NCBA and more. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to AOA.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, farm radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life, but you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.